Total Freedom Journey, Session 3, The Sound of Freedom.
I want to talk to you today about the issue of freedom, being free in every area of our lives. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that means that we can be completely free in every area of our lives. I want to talk about our words. I want to talk about the power of words and how if we're going to be a free person, it has to come out of our mouth. There's a sound to freedom. There's a sound to bondage. When you find a person who is in bondage in any area of their life, it'll come out of their mouths. They're going to talk a certain way. When you find a person who's free, they're going to talk a certain way. Now, I was completely in bondage when I got saved at 19 years old. I mean, I was in bondage and I talked like I was in bondage. And the Lord taught me over the years to change the way that I talked. And as I did, I'll tell you stories in this program about how the Lord set me free. But this is the most important scripture in the Bible, I believe, about the power of our words. Proverbs 18, 21 and 22. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And then it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I believe the reason that those verses are together is because if you're going to have a good marriage, you're going to have a good mouth. If you're going to be a good husband and a good wife, you've got to have your mouth ready for that. But literally, it says that the power of life and death are within our words. And the person who loves their mouth is going to eat its fruit. Let me say, the word fruit means a seed-bearing entity that comes back to us as something sweet. If you understand the power of your mouth, every word you say is a seed, whether you realize it or not. Good or bad, it's a seed of life or it's a seed of death. And it's going to come back to you. The fruit is going to come back to you. So the writer of Proverbs here is saying, if you sow a good seed, you're going to like that fruit. If you sow a bad seed, you're not going to like that fruit. But if you love, if you understand the power of your mouth, you can live your life with very sweet fruit that is going to come back. Let me say this. There is no such thing as an inconsequential word or evaporative speech. We speak words. We live in a very, very vulgar and sarcastic and hateful culture. You know that, okay? And these words are consequential, okay? They're going to come back, okay? So we need to understand that when we are talking, when we're saying words, that they are powerful. Let me give you an example of this in Psalm 109. Here's what it says, beginning in verse 17. He loved cursing, so let it come to him. He did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing as with a garment, so let it enter his body like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him the garment which covers him and for a belt with which he girds himself continually. So because he loved cursing, let it come to him. Because he didn't like blessing, let it be far from him. Remember, the power of life and death is within our tongue. So the cursing is an example of this. Do you know why we call it cursing? It's because it curses. When you say the word damn, okay, it's in the Bible, it means to invoke a curse. Okay, that's what it means. So when you're saying, well, blank those blank children or my blank wife or my blank whatever, you're invoking a curse. Whether you realize it or not, the power of life and death is in our tongue. And words are nuclear. Do you realize that Jesus defeated Satan himself with words? That's all. Not bombs or guns or knives or anything like that. See, we don't understand the power of words. Hebrews 4 says the word of God is quick and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what that means? It means it's the most powerful weapon in the universe. The word of God, the words we speak that come out of our mouth have the potential to give us life and to give life to everybody around us, or the potential to kill and kill people around us. Let me give you several examples of this. I told you at the beginning of the program I wanted to tell you about stories in my own life of how the Lord set me free. Let me begin with our marriage. The power of life and death is within your mouth, and it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Well, my wife Karen and I have been married for 44 years, have a wonderful marriage. Well, it didn't start out like that. I was a knucklehead. And I had a terrible mouth. And I used it against Karen. I used it literally to punish her when I got mad at her, and I killed her. I killed my wife with my mouth. I killed my marriage with my mouth. And after several years of marriage, we were on the brink of divorce. And I told Karen to get out one night. I was mad at her. I told her to leave, and she went in the bedroom crying. And it was the first time that I ever remember being responsible for my behavior. I was a Christian. I mean, I was born again. I was just not sanctified. I wasn't free. And my mouth was a place of death for my wife. And I went in and I apologized to Karen. This is what saved our marriage. It was the night that the Lord got my heart. And I went and I apologized to Karen. And when I said to Karen, "I'm sorry for what I've said to you," she said, "Your words have hurt me worse than anything else." See, some of you are still hurting over a word that was spoken to you 20 or 30 years ago. Because words don't evaporate. They're powerful. You could have a coach in high school say to you, "You know, you really have what it takes. I think you're going to be a great athlete." Or you could have a coach say to you, "You're no good and you'll never succeed." Or a parent or someone. And those words stick. I mean, those words are powerful. You know they're powerful. So when I took responsibility for my mouth and for the words that I said, what it meant was the morning after I repented to my wife. Repentance isn't sorry. Sorry just means I'm sorry for the effect of this. I'm sorry for the consequences of this. Repentance means I take total responsibility for it, and I'll do whatever it takes to change. That's what repentance means. So I woke up the next morning and I changed. I stopped talking to my wife the way that I did, and I began to plant better seed. And our marriage was resurrected, and we've never gone back to that dark place in all these years because this thing right here changed. My wife didn't have a problem with this. I had a problem with this. My words were destroying my marriage. You can destroy a human being with your mouth. You can destroy a child with a few loose words. "You're no good. Why aren't you like your brother? I wish you were never born." Those are devastating words. Now, if you've had words like that spoken over you, forgive the person who did it and replace those words with God's word, because He's crazy about you. He loves you. So those are lies that destroy. The Word of God gives us life. But you decide. Understand this. If you're going to have a good marriage, you're going to have a good mouth. And the devil wants, God wants to use your mouth to give people life. The devil wants to use your mouth to destroy people's lives. You decide. You decide. But crudeness, sarcasm, anger, hatefulness, cursing, all of those things, they're death and they're bondage. They're bondage. When you hear those words coming out of your mouth, you know you're not free. And they're going to perpetuate bondage. You've got to change the way you talk. Okay. The second issue in my life that kind of underscored the power of words is I smoked. Early in my 20s, I smoked. I knew the Lord had called me to preach. And the Lord said to me, "I want you to stop smoking." And I knew I needed to. I just couldn't do it. I liked to smoke when I smoked. I enjoyed it. But I knew that, you know, if I was going to be a pastor and serve the Lord, I didn't need to be smoking. I knew it wasn't good for me. I tried everything in the world to stop smoking. I couldn't stop. I mean, I just couldn't stop. And so one morning I was praying about it, and I was really discouraged because I'm sure I was smoking while I was praying. You know, I used to smoke 4 or 5 cigarettes while I was having my quiet time every day. And the Lord said this to me, "Say you're a non-smoker." And when He spoke that to me, I thought, "Well, I'm smoking." You know, that's kind of a crazy thing to say to someone sitting there smoking a cigarette. And the Lord said, "Say you're a non-smoker." And I said, "Okay." And I went to work that day, and I wasn't smoking. You know, now I wanted to, but I wasn't smoking. And, you know, when you're a smoker and you're around smokers and they realize you're not smoking, the first thing they do is walk up and offer you cigarettes. So all day long, everyone at work was walking up saying, "Hey, Jimmy, you want a cigarette?" And I said, "No, I'm not a smoker." I said that out loud with my mouth. And they all laughed at me that day, and they said, "Well, you were smoking yesterday." I said, "Well, that's yesterday. I'm a non-smoker now." Did you know I stopped smoking? I'm not saying I never wanted a cigarette. That's how I stopped smoking. I mean, the words of my mouth, listen to Romans 4. This is a fascinating scripture. You say, "Well, why do you think that worked for you?" Romans 4. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all of the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, listen, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. Who calls into being things that are not as though they were. See, we walk by faith, not by sight. Abraham and Sarah were very, very old people, around 100 years old, and they didn't have a child. And God came to Abraham and Sarah and said, this time next year, Sarah will be pregnant. And Sarah laughed. Okay. But it says that Abraham believed and called those things into existence which were not as though they were. Here's what it means. If I begin to confess what God says, it will come true. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I'm smoking. I mean, I'm obviously a smoker because I'm sitting here smoking. I'm going to say I'm not a smoker because God didn't create me to be a smoker. And if God has called me, if God's telling me to stop smoking or whatever God's saying, and I begin to call it into existence before it happens, God will use my faith. Abraham was a man of faith who hoped against hope. And the Bible says his body was as good as dead, and Sarah's was too. But by faith, he believed and he began to confess, I'm going to have a child. We're going to have a child this time next year. And guess what? Sarah got pregnant. As an old lady, she got pregnant. And the Bible attributes it to his confession of calling those things into existence. So what I don't do today, I'm free. What I don't do today is sit around and just rehearse my circumstances. But when I know that there's something in my life that should be different, I let it come out of my mouth. I begin to confess, it's going to be okay. God's going to provide. God's going to heal. God's going to do this. I have a confession of faith, and I am agreeing with God, and I'm calling into existence things that are not as though they were. And you say, my child is going to come back to God. My marriage is going to be okay. I know that God's going to heal me. I know that God's going to provide. And you let those words begin to come out of your mouth, it'll change your life. Because words have the power of life and death. All words have a spirit on them. All words have a spirit on them. Faith or unbelief, purity or impurity, hope or hopelessness, all words have a spirit on them. And the words that come out of your mouth are consequential. They're going to come back. They're seed. They're going to come back to you. And you don't want a bad harvest. You want a good harvest. If you want a good harvest, let your words be good. And that's where I don't smoke today because the Lord told me to confess it, and I did. Let me tell you another one. This is a good one. When I was about 21 or 22 years old, one day I noticed down here in my shaving area, I had a little growth on my face or something. And so I went to the doctor and he burned it off or something. And that was that. So it came back. So I went and got it burned off again. It came back, two or three of them down here. I got them froze off, scraped off, burned off, you name it. They did just about all that over about a 2 or 3 year period of time, but they kept spreading. The warts down here kept spreading. And it concerned me. And so I got discouraged because I thought, well, I don't want these stupid things on my face. They weren't very big, but they were noticeable and they were getting worse. And my brother knew a doctor. My brother is in the medical profession. And he said, hey, Jimmy, this is the best dermatologist on earth. Go see this guy. So I went to see him. And when I went to see him, he said, there is no cure for what you have. You need to grow a beard and get used to it. You're going to have this probably for many years. And I left there totally discouraged. And I thought, well, I can't believe my brother told me to go see that guy. You know, I mean, you couldn't have gotten a worse, you know, prognosis than he gave me. And I went home and I read a scripture. And here's the scripture that I read, Mark 11. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Okay, so Jesus said, speak to the mountain and command it to be cast in the heart of the sea, and don't doubt. Okay, speak it by faith. Well, my mountain was a little wart on my face, a little group of warts on my face. And I read that scripture one day, and the Lord said, speak to your warts and command them to get off your face. Well, you know, so I thought, well, that's kind of crazy. I mean, I'm sorry. That just seemed a little crazy to me, but I was desperate. I went in the bathroom, closed the door, made sure no one was around, and I looked at the warts on my face, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Now, I felt stupid. I mean, I just felt stupid. But I was desperate. And, you know, Jesus said, speak to the mountain. I did it the second day. I did it the third day. I did it the fourth day. I kind of got better at it. I got a little bit more dramatic as the days went on. And, you know, by day four or five or six, I was like, in the name of Jesus, you get off my face. And I was just sitting there commanding him and speaking to him. And I had had these warts for 3 or 4 years. About the 10th day of speaking to the warts, I got up one morning and looked in the mirror, and they were completely gone, and I've never had another one. I don't know what your mountain is. It could be a child or a marriage or a sickness or a financial issue or a person. I don't know what your mountain is, but I do know this. If you'll speak to it, it'll move. You speak to your mountain. Jesus said, speak to the mountain and command it to be cast into the heart of the sea. You know what that means? It's not coming back. See, the devil wants to put things in our path to overwhelm us and discourage us, to get us to go back. You come to the mountain and you say, well, I want to do what God called me to do. And all of a sudden there's a mountain. Mountain is not a hill. It's not a tree. It's not a rock. It is a mountain. It is an immovable object that is keeping you from moving forward. That's what a mountain is. Okay. And I've got this thing on my face that to me, it's a mountain. I mean, to other people, maybe not. To me, this is a big deal. Okay. Right here in the middle of my face, these things spreading on my face. It's a big deal, especially when God has called you to a public ministry. And it was overwhelming to me. And I could have grown a beard and gotten used to it and given up. But I decided to do what the Bible said, and I spoke to him. And the mountain moved. I woke up and it was gone into the heart of the sea, and it's never been back. It's never been back. The power of our words is incredible. It's incredible. And again, I want to say we live in a culture that our words are just thrown around. People are so hateful. They're so careless. They're so vulgar. Jesus said, you will give an account for every idle word that you've ever spoken. Can you imagine that? See, a lot of people think they're just talking and those words are evaporating. Actually, those words are accumulating. Now, if you said some bad things, you just repent and Jesus will forgive you. There's an eraser. God's recording every word we're saying. But there's an eraser on the recorder. It's called the blood of Jesus. So if you've had very negative words, very negative confession, vulgar, whatever, hateful, repent to God and repent to anybody else that you've said bad things to, like I did with Karen. God will forgive you. Our God is an awesome, loving, forgiving God. Okay, He'll always forgive you. But understand this. The rest of your life is going to be about this thing right here. And you're not going to be free until this thing right here is changed. Physical issues, emotional issues, relationships, your relationship with God, money, jobs, whatever it is out there. People who are free talk like they're free. It comes out of their mouth. People who are in bondage talk like they're in bondage. There's a darkness. There's a negativity. There's a hopelessness to their speech. So I'm saying to you, every time you open your mouth and say a word, a seed is being planted. And it's got the power of life and death in it, not just for somebody else, but for you. And you're going to get a harvest. You're planting seed. And as surely as you're planting seed, you're going to get a harvest back from those seeds that you planted. And I tell you, so earlier in my life, I had a bad marriage. I was broke. I was in bondage. I was addicted to nicotine. I smoked. I had many other bondages in my life. but I don't today. I'm different. I'm physically, emotionally, spiritually different. And my mouth is completely different. It's not coincidental. If you're going to be set free, you got to begin with this thing right here. And my encouragement to you is speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Say what call things into existence that are not as though they were. Change your mouth. Let life and blessing and peace and kindness and truth and love come out of your mouth. And watch the harvest. It'll change everything about your life. And it'll set you free. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for my friends right now that are watching, and I bless them in the name of Jesus. I speak a blessing over them today. I pray the life of Jesus right now would well up inside of them. I break every bondage in their life in Jesus' name. I agree with you, God, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and I declare that they're free. I declare that your plan for them is good and not evil, and you want to give them a future and a hope. For some of my friends watching right now, they have had such horrible things spoken over them, that they're no good, that they're worthless, that they'll never succeed, whatever it might be. But that's not what your word says, Lord. And we forgive every person who's spoken something hurtful to us. We bless them, we forgive them in the name of Jesus, and we pray, God, that they would be set free from any judgment, any vengeance in our lives. Lord, we leave it to you, and we forgive them, and we pray, God, for you to forgive us right now. Forgive us for anything that we've said. If there's a word that we've said that is wrong, we take responsibility for it right now, and we pray the blood of Jesus would wash us free. And we know that you have right now. You have set us free right now. I bless every marriage, every wife, every husband, every marriage. And I pray that they would begin to sow words of life in each other, that they would take responsibility for their words to each other, their children, and to other people. But Lord, I bless my friends and thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.